evening, everyone, and welcome to our Tuesday night celebration of life. It's so good to be with you. What an amazing day. I had the opportunity to work with some powerful people today and working through their challenges in life, and tonight we're going to take on your life. We want to welcome all those who are visiting with us for the first time or are joining this call now and going to be with us for the remainder of this year. Every week, we take on one of the qualities of an intentional creator. The last 2 weeks, we've been working on quality number one, connecting with people. While we've studied that quality, we have learned that everyone has a wall of resistance, that we take down the wall with empathy and intuition. Our inner sense of knowing is our intuition. Our empathy comes from our own life experiences. We've learned how to let go of the pain and frustration from failure and loss and anger from our lifetime and engrave it in our heart so that we can show up in the service of another human being. There is so much going on in so many lives. And if we can get outside of our cocoon from behind our own wall and show up in the service of other people, oh, it's going to be a glorious time for those of you who are building businesses and relationships. Og says this is the greatest secret of success in all ventures. He calls it a weapon. He says you can melt all hearts like unto the sun whose rays soften the coldest clay. This is a powerful, powerful secret of success when we actually focus on the needs of another person, truly care about them, show up for them. We've learned the seven principles of intrinsic validation, noticing the good and verbalizing and listening for doors and what a door is and how to step into it, how to take down that wall of resistance and release huge reserves of cooperation and productivity. This is something we should be practicing. We've talked about keeping that conversation in context and keeping it honest, about waiting to tell our story until we have completely understood where someone is, that we listen to gain understanding, not just to react or respond. We try on their dreams. If it's the right time, we gain agreement and we share with them what we think would serve them. We don't answer objections, because objections aren't questions. Objections are statements that demand a question. So we step back into their world and take down those walls of resistance. We develop relationships. If we have a business where we sell, it's not a close, it's a beginning. Are you ready to get started? So I'm ready to work with you. What a great thing that as we do so, we become a partner with a power greater than ourselves and bringing abundance to the lives of another person. Our relationships are sweet and deep. There's trust. That's quality one. Now we're going to take on the single greatest challenge faced by 97% of those on this call tonight. We're going to talk about how we use our thought processes, thinking about thinking, and the impact it can have on us and driving our lives and our business, and an opportunity for us to take one of your greatest gifts and fully maximize it. If you've been with us before, when we've been on Quality 2, we've talked about this as being a fire hose. And if we point a fire hose in the wrong direction, we can blow a wall down. And some of us do all kinds of destructive behavior with this fire hose of a thought process. However, if we just turn it and point it in a constructive direction, we can create miracles. It is my intention tonight, and perhaps you've been through this quality before, and yet you find yourself in fear and anxiety and fantasy and catastrophe. These days, it's hard not to be there every once in a while. Tonight, I want to inspire you with some very specific techniques so that you can use this powerful thought process in a way that you can receive inspired ideas and impressions and solutions to problems that will ignite your passion. Wow. Passion that will drive your focus and discipline and effort and action. On the way from the office here to our home tonight, and we want to welcome those who are in the family room as well tonight. It's great to have all of you here. On the way up the hill tonight, I found myself reflecting on a dream. I've written a little bit about this dream in some of the work. This happened when I was like 8 years old, and I remember it like it was yesterday. When I was eight, I was collecting coins, and I went and spent a summer with my grandmother, and she had one of those old log cabin syrup tins packed with coins, pennies. She'd saved for decades. This was like 1960. So decades. There were some old coins in this tin. And I told her I wanted to be a coin collector. So I got some of those little books for pennies. And she said, here, go through and take whatever you can use in your penny collection. I just about filled up all the penny slots to 1960 with her tin, including the still ones from World War II. It was miraculous. I got addicted. I moved into nickels and then dimes. And my fantasy was quarters. If I could collect quarters. I used to hoe an entire flower garden for a quarter. Oh, the thought of starting to collect quarters. And I remember one night I went to sleep, and in this dream, it was so vivid. It was like I really woke up from the dream. And I went out behind our house. We lived in Brigham City, Utah at the time. My father worked out at the Thiokol plant where they tested the solid fuel rockets for the Minuteman. And I went out into the backyard, and I knew that there was a treasure in my own backyard. And I remember going to the middle of the yard, and I had a shovel in my hands. It's interesting in dreams how they're just exactly there where you need them. And I cleared the grass away, about a 4x4 section, and I began to dig. I was down quite a ways when all of a sudden I hit something solid. It sounded metallic. Click, click, click. Click, click, click. And I cleared the dirt away, and there was a lid. And I still remember pulling off this lid. I was driving home tonight. This was just so alive. I pulled off the lid, and this bottomless treasure chest was filled with quarters. I remember taking my fingers and diving into this treasure trove and just lifting up handfuls of quarters and playing with them. And no matter how deep I went, there was just more of them and more of them. And I woke up. Much to my disappointment, of course. But I had a very strong impression at the age of eight. And that was that your treasure is in your own backyard. Ponder that for a moment in your own life. See, I don't think that was unique to me. I believe I was being taught a truth at that age. Og even talked about this in Scroll 1. This resonated with me when I read it. We talked about being successful and how will this be accomplished? For I have neither the knowledge nor the experience to achieve greatness. And already I have stumbled in ignorance and fallen into pools of self-pity. Anybody been there lately? The answer is simple. I will commence my journey unencumbered with either the weight of unnecessary knowledge or the handicap of meaningless experience. Nature already has supplied me with knowledge and instinct far greater than any beast in the forest, and the value of experience is overrated anyway. What is this instinct? What is this gift? Well, the majority of you on the phone have it. In abundance, all of you have it. Those of you who have it, it's going to be easier to manage, because some of you have it at such an extent, it's like a wild Mustang. Now, when you come to the calls, those who are visiting, we like you to have a computer up so that you can look at your own assessment report. I just want to give you the six measurements for this particular quality. Look at self-directed. These are all on the right-hand side. Self-directed, honorable, goal-oriented, coachable, pragmatic, and resolute. We're going to talk specifically about one of these tonight. It's called goal-oriented. It also shows up in the pragmatic measurement, realistic measurement, if you have your assessment handy. I want to introduce you to your treasure trove of quarters in your own backyard. So you can go to sleep tonight, because you'll meet this measurement as you're going to sleep. And perhaps tonight, different than any other time, you'll see it for what it is. You'll be more conscious of how it has destroyed your life at times. Just destroyed it when you've listened. And you'll find times when it's like the heavens opened with such clarity. Same gift. Just depends on how you use it. And there it is, sitting in your own backyard. Are you ready? Let's pull out a pen and a piece of paper. We live in the most interesting time. More so than ever before, there are those that want to sell us a belief that success is both easy and quick. Some have been buying into that theory, and when that one didn't work, they did another one. When that one didn't work, they did another one. Until they have bought all they can afford to buy. With credit being crunched, credit cards being taken away, credit limits being dropped, home equity lines disappearing, all of that happening, they become increasingly broken emotionally and angry. And yet, we still want an easy button. The single greatest challenge we face is that success is not easy nor quick, but it is possible, and even more than possible. And what I'm going to share with you tonight is the pivotal moment. We want to be focused on serving other people. Now, how we use this piece in that service will very likely determine our success or failure. We go one direction, it'll be destroyed. We go the other, we'll speed it up as fast as success can be created on this planet. Yet, we still want to go left, over there, hoping somehow there's an easy way. And as we become increasingly broken and angry, we go into scarcity. We have urgency. There's desperation. If I could wrap my arms around you tonight. Really fun person who happens to be here tonight taught me about hugging heart to heart last night. That was so cool. You hug heart to heart. If I could hug you heart to heart and you could feel my energy tonight, I want to inspire you to make a shift that you have been so reluctant to make. So that you can actually experience the success you want. And as amazing child of a loving God deserve. When we want it easy, this thought process, which is involved in obsessive thought, just thinking about thinking, thinking and thinking and thinking. But it's a different kind of thinking. It's not like thinking about what's 5 times 8 is 40. It's seeing 8 things times 5 is 40, and seeing the 40 things is the visualization. It's the vivid, extremely vivid visualization. This is perhaps one of the greatest gifts a person can have on this planet. It connects them with things beyond this planet, should they use it properly. If not, it'll connect them with some of the darkest, most awful things possible. So here we are with this gift in our own backyard. We vividly see. Now some people say, well, Dave, I don't see pictures. Well, this isn't like seeing a picture. This is like being there. It's like being there. We want a certain kind of car, and we just find ourselves there driving the car. We're just there. We can feel it. We know what it'd be like. We smell the leather. It's there. Enormous gift. However, 98% who have this thought process use it in a way that it nearly destroys their life. I'm going to do my best to explain it briefly. Many of you have heard me share this. Just be with it tonight. This isn't about intellectualizing what happens. This is about feeling it. So that when it starts to happen, we can recognize exactly where we are before it sucks us into darkness. The very first and most deadly use of this vivid visualization is when we want to be someone else, somewhere else, doing something different. We want to be rich, or we want to be out of debt, or we want to be on this relationship. We want to get beyond where we are. So if you just take your hand and say, here I am, right here, just touch your chest. And between here and there, we just don't want to even think about that part. We just want to go to when we're successful. Now that first step isn't a negative thing. I want to show you constructive thought. That's the first step. However, we make a fatal decision. We're not there to get instructed. When we're using this destructively, we're using this to escape. And we go there and escape. And then we begin to live vividly what it will be like then. It could be a meeting on Thursday. It could be a sales appointment on Friday. We just go to it, the sale's made, the commission's earned, and we begin to spend in our mind that money with such vividness that a couple things happen. One, the sympathetic nervous system releases a drug, a very powerful drug called norepinephrine. It just makes us feel euphoric. It's a counterfeit form of joy. Whew. It's glorious. It's really exciting. And because this thought process is so vivid, the same brain chemistry, brain circuitry is firing that would fire if we were actually there. What does that mean? We can step back here and intellectualize. Wow, do I really do that? I tell you how you know that you do it. Because when this is happening, to the mind it's so real that when life shows up differently, and it always will, it'll show up within the next 24 hours, something's going to happen. Flat tire, screaming child, credit card statement, spent more than you realize, whatever it is, something's going to show up that's inconsistent with that experience you've had in your mind. And the reason you'll know that you've done what I've explained is you'll get one of those lightning bolts in your gut, little anxiety. Your brain will start to shut down. Literally. This isn't a figurative statement. Little fear dendrites, these are very real, are sent by the fight or flight center, the amygdala, and their whole purpose is to go up like a little army and shut off all the electric switches in our brain, especially right here in our prefrontal cortex where our empathy exists, our ability to connect with people, our practical judgment, know how to do things, the scripts we've learned. It shuts all that off. We can't remember. We feel awkward and uncomfortable. We can't talk to people in this space. You ever been there? Ever had that anxiousness, that nervousness, that fear, that sense of doom, the world's coming to an end, everything's going to crash? Hogg talks about this in Scroll 5 when he tells us to stay in the now, not to go into the space. We try to put tomorrow's gold in today's purse. That's fantasy. He says, then I start to concern myself for events that I may never witness. Torment myself with problems that may never come to pass. Ah! And I start the second process that's negative. It's called catastrophizing. And what's interesting is when these chemicals are released in our body, our intuition reads them as being real. False evidence appearing real. That's the acronym. FEAR, F-E-A-R. The false evidence appearing real is the release of the cortisol and the fear dendrite in the body. And we read it as real. And so the body simply releases even more chemicals to assist us in escaping from this enemy that is attacking. Except for the only thing that's attacking is reality. There's no place to go. There's no place to run. There's no place to hide. We just have a body filled with ligands and neuropeptides, these chemicals, and we're a mess. And now it's going to take a while to bleed off. We can say awful things in this space. Do crazy things. Either in the state of euphoria or in this state of catastrophe. Those are the two most common. The third has become pandemic in our nation. It's called counterfeit forms of pleasure. And the number one form is pornography. I don't want to offend anybody. I don't want to get into a moralistic discussion. I just know that when we engage in it, we're not fully present for a companion. We're not 100% committed. Trust does not exist. Intimacy is a physical experience instead of a rich spiritual experience that it should be. It can be playful, sporting event, but it won't have the deep communication of a committed feeling that you have for this person. It's impossible. Can't be. So you got these destructive uses. Fantasy. Catastrophe. Counterfeit forms of pleasure. Sadly, a significant part of our population is using it thus. And it is killing them. If you're in an industry where there's a lot of discussion around lifestyle, and you want that lifestyle, and you go to it all the time and spend time there, you might even make a dream board. And the dream board, instead of being a target, becomes a daily destination where you spend valuable time living in your mind. You'll never get it. It will not happen. you'll be so discouraged and so frustrated on a regular basis that you're either going to be in one of those emotional highs or you're going to be in the emotional low. You fantasize again to go emotionally high, life will take you back emotionally low. And you'll do that until you're exhausted and you will leave. Oh, that I had in my ability to speak to you. I pull on all the strength of my being that you may have the courage to face this reality tonight. And how thought processes used destructively have been destroying your life. Because I want to show you how to use them constructively tonight. In a way that will increase the probability of inspired ideas and impressions. I'm going to be pretty bold tonight. It's called not pulling any punches. There's just too much at stake. I know these principles, and it's hard sometimes not to go into catastrophe when something doesn't work out the way you'd hope it would. Or you watch the economy and you see other people struggling and you just feel that anguish. It's hard not to go there, even when you know the principles. It's imperative on us that we learn them and we stay where I'm about to take you as much of the time as we possibly can, knowing that any moment we spend over here is of no avail. We want to be constantly searching and seeking for answers, solving the problem, the challenge, in very specific ways. And I'm going to do my best to detail them for you tonight. So if you got your pen and paper handy, I want to introduce to you the 5 constructive ways to use your mind. I'll give you some examples. And the warning is, before we go here, you don't have the immediate drug surge of norepinephrine when you do this. It'll take a little bit of discipline, but very quickly there'll be a reward that will come that'll be far greater than any norepinephrine rush from fantasy. But at first, it will take a little bit of discipline. And the truth is that 99.9% of you are struggling in this area. If you look on the left-hand side of your assessment, third measurement down, disciplined, most of you are orange or red. A natural resistance to structure, the very structure that will create success in your life. So as we're going through these thought processes, know that there will be some structure required. That will be 3 weeks from now. We'll be talking about discipline and structure. That's the reason why we'll get to it, because we'll need it. For now, we're going to learn the principles. So I'm sitting here in the morning. This is you. You're reflecting on the day. Perhaps you've got a mortgage payment coming or a car payment coming, and you're not exactly sure how you're going to handle those expenses. Maybe in October you filed your tax return. In November you have all the property taxes that are due. Sound familiar to anyone? Just went through that. Ouch. Here you are in December. There's Christmas. You want to buy gifts for your children. You have all of these things that you want to be able to do, and life just isn't showing up as you had planned. And boy, it just wants to suck us over in those dark, dark places. And what we do know is every moment we spend there, we lose hours of creativity. Hours. There is nothing, absolutely nothing to be gained by fear. Nothing. Yet we still sneak over there every once in a while. We flirt with it. Sometimes we dive in for a while. But nothing to be gained. There will not be any solutions that will come out of catastrophe. So the first thing we want to do, there's 5 of them. Here's the first one. It's called mental rehearsal. Now, I've taught this so many times. And I know when I get done, there are some that still are struggling to understand the concept. I'm going to do my best tonight. Because we go into our mind in fantasy, to look into the future, to see possibilities. And we're escaping from the pain that we're currently feeling. In mentally rehearsal, we still have the pain. We don't like it. We don't like where we are. We want things to be different. So we're going into this space, this mental space, where we're going into the future, to an event. Preferably the next most important event that we're going to be dealing with. And we go there and we're just there. We're in that space. And some people said, do I make this up, David? I said, no, you don't have to make up the Ferrari and fantasy. But your desire there was to escape. Here, you don't need to make up what happens. You just need to create the desire to serve. That's why we taught connecting with people first. Because this doesn't work if we're there just to selfishly solve our own problems. We're here to serve. How can I better serve this person on Thursday when I meet with them? How could I better deliver this material tonight with the mental rehearsal over the weekend? That's where I was on the way home when I remembered that dream of the gift in my backyard. I serve somebody tonight. Because when I was mentally rehearsing being on this phone with you, that's what I was told to say. It wasn't told like David to tell the dream. I found myself in my backyard at age 8 with my fingers diving into that treasure trove. That was the impression that came. And I went, wow, that's important for somebody to hear tonight. That their greatest treasure is in their own backyard. Could it be this gift? They just haven't dug in it to get to it yet. She's been sitting there, unused, or improperly used. So we go to that space as I did tonight. I'm driving up the road, just coming up Summerwood, and all of a sudden there I am, diving into those quarters. I'm focused on how can I serve you better tonight. It's got a fantasy element in that there's vivid visualization. But I'm not there to escape. The focus is how can we better serve. If this means anything to anyone tonight, would you, that the treasure in your backyard, would you drop me an email, dave@augmandino.com? Or send me a text on my cell phone, 801-541-9181. Let me know. I'd love to know who that was for tonight. Because the impression came so powerfully and stayed with me all the way till I pulled in the driveway and pushed the button for the garage door to come down. I remember climbing out of the car and thinking, wow, I haven't thought about that for a long, long time. Interesting. That's a mental rehearsal. That's how they work. Now I'd like to have you say to yourself, wow, I've done that before. Yeah, I'm not teaching you something you've never done. We don't always just fantasize. We've just been fantasizing more than we've been using this constructively, and we may have never seen it as the treasure in our backyard. We may have been angry with the power that provides the impression. Inspired ideas. Inspired impressions. Solutions to problems. If we're totally focused on serving others, we can trust them. I get impressions sometimes that come out of my fear. Can't trust them. Just can't trust them. Wow, they seem so real, but they're coming out of the wrong place. So here you are going, okay, how do I use this, Dave? Well, go to the next meeting that you have, the next event involving a person. It could be a committed companion you'll be with after this call. Just go there for a moment. Just envision them. They've been patiently allowing you to invest time tonight. What could you do to serve them? I'm just going to tell you what comes to my mind as I'm thinking of my sweetheart Ramona. The first feeling that came to me in the vision was me rubbing her feet with lotion. Now, I know she's listening to this over in the other room, in the family room, and she's probably smiling now. Yeah. She's so gracious. She prepared a meal tonight for everybody who was coming. Consummate hostess. Amazing companion. If I'm focusing on what could I do to serve her? Yeah. How about if I give her a foot rub tonight? Now, if I'm over here in fantasy escaping to a time when there's no more challenges or I'm flying around in some Learjet or whatever it might be, I'm not going to think of that. It's not going to come to my mind. It may turn out, and I'm being very transparent here for a moment with you all, that that's going to be really important for her tonight. Really important. I know she's worked very hard today for all of you. She was at the office early this morning and left late and came back here, and last night she was cooking this beautiful soup that I just had some most delicious. She's just always there. Nary a complaint. I'll give you another one. This is a tender one for me. I was sitting at my desk the other day, reflecting on my children. And I had this vision of my four daughters and Ramona coaching. Imagine that. So this warm, just an impression. We were all there going through our assessments together and formally coaching. Well, when I had the next occasion, I said something to Ramona. I said, "Sweetheart, what would you think if?" She said, I don't know. This sounds great. Let me call the girls. They were so excited. She got all their assessments, newest assessments taken and scheduled, and today at 1 o'clock, I'm on the phone as a coach with my four grown daughters, all moms, some of them going through really tough times, one of them, the child born, with some really serious challenges with its sight. Oh, to be a mom today with screaming children, and one is an opera singer, the other is a cum summa laude psychologist who wanted to be a speaker, and she's at home raising four children because she knows that's where she's supposed to be right now. That's her choice. I've got these four talking about what matters most. I had to pinch myself. It started with a mental rehearsal. So focus on, go into a space with someone you love. Go into the next meeting you have with a prospect in your business or a management meeting. Just be there. It wouldn't hurt if you said, "Guide me. Guide me." I was on the phone with a beautiful person today who was sharing me over the weekend that they were driving down the freeway going 75 miles an hour, and all of a sudden a semi didn't see them, just came right over in their lane, pushed them right off the road. And there was a barrier coming up, and there wasn't enough space between the two of them, and he turned hard to miss it, and the car spun around 360 degrees, went off the road and over into the other lane of traffic, and there was a truck approaching, and she had him press the gas, and he got out just in time. I said, "What do you remember most?" And she says, "I remember saying to God, 'Help me.'" From a place so deep, she said it was like angels surrounded them and just carried them through the whole process. Not terribly religious, but very spiritual in their life. It's from that same guttural place, with the same depth of emotion and passion with which we want to escape No more stress, no more pain, no more frustration, no more debt. I'm just tired, I'm sick, I'm, ah! From that same guttural place we're trying to find answers in ease, we seek to gain answers to create, to bless other people's lives. It's the same energy, just directed in a different place. Help. Guide me. And then just be with it and be sensitive to what opens up and trust the impression. Act on it. You'll trust it more every time you go into mental rehearsal. The goal would be that just as often as you spend time in fantasy, which for some is the majority of your day, the majority, if you put a clock to it, most of us aren't present in the now. In tangible reality, we're in our mind most of the time. So if we're not doing something constructive, we're doing something destructive, worrying, catastrophizing, or fantasizing. Enjoy the time. What happens if we stayed here the majority of the time? Mental rehearsal. I can tell you what happens. Just like you see the escape pieces, what it's going to be like when you're rich in fantasy, you'll just start getting impressions. Some things are hard to solve. They don't come quickly. Others come very quickly. Mental rehearsal. I hope that gives you a different perspective of it. This is the gift in your backyard. You've been here before. You've had to make a presentation and you played it in your mind. You stood in front of the group. You've imagined what it would be like to be healthy or have more children or have a different or a loving relationship. I shouldn't say different, but a loving relationship. You've imagined these things. Just use that imagination over here with the intent to bless somebody's life, and now it's in alignment. It's congruent with the source that can give you an inspired idea or impression or a solution to a problem. You'll feel it when it comes. You'll trust it with increasing levels of trust. That's one. Two, inspiration. So your mind wants you to go over here into negativity or to fantasy. Oh, it's like a pity party. You know, can I just spend a few minutes feeling sorry about myself? It's like, can I just spend a few minutes over there and in the Caribbean, you know, scuba diving or sailboating? Well, if you do, you just know what's going to happen. How about instead you just say, not going there today. Everybody take their left hand like a tomahawk and just chop. Not going there today. That's everything left of me. That's all those negativities. Staying over here on the right. Not going there today. I'm going to do inspiration. I'm going to pick that one. Consciously say in that moment, what I'm going to do is I'm going to seek inspiration. What that means is I'm going to start playing names out in my mind. Just playing them out. Or asking if there's anyone I can serve, put them on my path and I'll serve them. Could it be Joe? Is it Justin? Is it Chad? Is it Megan? Is it Krista? Is it Chase? Is it Bill? Is it Teresa? I have one I still need to call today. Came to me this afternoon. Wrote it down. Haven't had a chance to call yet. Will before the night's out. Got that impression. How often have you gotten one of those impressions to talk to someone, you call them, and they say, you know, I was just thinking about you. Or you discover they really did need to talk to someone, and you had exactly what they needed. Either a listening ear, you just be there for them. That's the gift. Or you might ever have some counsel that they desperately need. You say, well, what happens if I spend all day thinking and I don't have any names come to my mind? I just keep playing. playing over names and names, and nothing really sticks out. Well, at the end of the day, you're still okay. You spend that same amount of time over here on the left in fantasy and catastrophe, and you will be a disaster. A disaster. You're better to have spent the whole day rehearsing names and never found anybody you could serve. But being willing to. It'll be a better use of time. You don't have all those negative chemicals floating around your body. But my promise to you is this. If you will show up, if there's anyone I can serve, who are we saying this to? This power greater than us. If there's anyone I can serve based on my unique experiences, those things I was dragging around in my sack that I've emptied out and engraved on my heart, and I now have as a resource to serve other people with similar challenges. If there's any of those people, put them on my path, and I will serve them. My promise to you is you will have that opportunity, and there's very few things as joyful. Oh. And just know, the gift you give may not be the advice. The gift you may be give is just listening. Creating a safe place where they can let go of their resistance and their resentment and explore possibilities and have their heart touched by a power greater than yourself. That's number two. Number three, explore possibilities. I've used this example numerous times, and for those of you who've heard it, anybody who's remodeled a bathroom or redecorated a room, you can do that in your mind before you buy the first thing or raise the first hammer and minimize mistakes. See, exploring possibilities allows us to consider options before we make tangible commitments. Because once the door is built in tangible real life and the door swings and hits the toilet, we go, oh my goodness, that doesn't work. Now we got to do the work all over again. We could play that scenario out thousands of times in our mind. The time it would take to fix that door in tangible reality. We could have explored all kinds of possibilities. This is a great use of this gift. Minimizing risk. Now, if we have used this like a candy machine to just go get overdosed on chocolate fantasy, and then we've dealt with the stomach ache of catastrophe, but what we remember is the desire to go take that drug again. Oh, it seems like work. Oh, Dave, it hurts to think like this. Well, the reason why it hurts to think, and I told you I would not pull a punch, is because it's not most of our modus operandi to care enough about another person, to have a desire sufficient to be blessed with the inspired idea. Everybody okay with this? Let's hear that again. Let it set with you for a moment. Most of us have never cared about another human being sufficiently to have the amount of energy and focus needed to be worthy of receiving an inspired idea or an impression or a solution to a problem. What's the invitation? Beat ourselves up for not having been that way? No. The invitation is to start practicing intrinsic validation, stepping into their world, taking down those walls of resistance, starting to care. The better we get at caring in connection, the better we get at caring in mental rehearsal and in inspiration and exploration. Then we move to the fourth one, which is planning and goal setting. Planning and goal setting, you can go and listen to these sections in the audio. There's a section on how to create a relationship if you don't have one. How to maintain and build a powerful relationship. How to build a business. A business. I'll spend a little bit of time on this next week, but it's pretty simple. We go into the future to see possibilities, not to escape in the seeing of them, but see possibilities and get clear about what it's going to take to create those. You see, an intentional creator doesn't want to just live in a fantasy house. They want to live in a real one. They want to be able to feel the wood, feel the carpet on their toes, or the tile. They want the real stuff. So they get clear. What's it going to take? What are the steps between here and there? And they begin the process of intentionally creating that. So they go into the future and get clear. Now, most dreams aren't about relationships, and I'm going to encourage you to set goals in your relationships as much as you do in your business. Business, with the economy the way it is, will stick to your goals that are approximately a year in length. There's just so much fluctuation out there in the markets that go beyond that would just be to create expectations that could be unrealistic. But an annual goal. We're coming up on 2011. Because when we know what we want to create, what it'll buy, we convert it to how many people's lives we'll want to impact, and how many we'll need to impact each quarter, each month, each week, each day. We know why we're doing what we're doing. We have a purpose. We're passion-driven because we've got a clear vision. It's no longer boring and mundane and repetitious. We'll be getting into this the next couple of weeks. But it all comes from a clear vision. Great goal setters do write down their goals, but they don't have to. They've already seen them vividly, indelibly imprinted on their minds. That's goal setting. If you're in a relationship, it can create incredible conversations. Just know that when you're goal setting with a companion, you may discover there are things your companion wants to do that you don't necessarily want to do. Now, what an opportunity to find out what's really important to them so we can start showing up in this process. Planning and goal setting. The last one, problem solving. This particular thought process won't stop thinking about something till it is solved. It'll just churn on it, churn and churn and churn, till it comes up with a solution. I'm trying to find a solution to something right now. I've consulted with some friends and associates about the last few days. It won't stop. I can just feel it. It's almost there. Just go back and check, is my desire to serve. Okay, let's mentally rehearse. Let's seek inspiration. Let's try on, explore. Let's try on some possibilities. Let's plan, let's goal set, let's problem solve. I know in the next few days we'll have an answer. It'll be exciting when it comes, as have so many in the past. These are the five constructive ways of using our mind. When we stay here, we are not tempted to use our mind destructively. And when we're not tempted to use our mind destructively, our actions are congruent with that power that governs abundance in bringing joy to others. This is a great way to live. We actually become abundant. We're not seeking it. We're not trying to win it. We're actually choosing to become it. It flows in us and out of us. We're an active participant in that sacred process called abundance. Well, thank you for being with us tonight. Your homework assignment is to read scroll number 8. Scroll number 8. I will multiply my value 100-fold. Og tells us in that scroll that we plant ourselves in the dark and richness of the soil. And he describes this beautifully. He says that this darkness is all of our failures and our despairs and our ignorance and our inabilities. That's the fertilizer that helps us grow. Isn't that great? And we nurture this. So we have objectives so our life can grow. If we've got a clear vision of where we're going, we know why we're doing what we're doing. I love this piece of the scroll. He said, the height of my goals will not hold me in awe, though I may stumble often before they are reached. If I stumble, I will rise and my falls will not concern me. For all men must stumble often to reach the hearth. That should give us all some warm feelings. Then he says this line, I love this one. Only a worm is free from the worry of stumbling. I am not a worm. Then he quotes from scroll number one, I am not an onion plant. Remember, onion plant grows old in 90 days. He wants us to be an olive tree. I'm not a sheep from scroll three that needs to be prodded by his shepherd. I'm a man. Let others build a cave with their clay. I will build a castle with mine. And just as the sun must warm the earth to bring forth the seedling of wheat, so too will the words of these scrolls warm my life and turn my dreams into reality. At the end of the scroll, he says, one grain of wheat is calling us, referencing us as a grain of wheat. One grain of wheat, when multiplied a hundredfold, will produce 100 stalks. Multiply these 100-fold 10 times, and they will feed all the cities of the earth. Am I not more than a grain of wheat? Today, I will multiply my value 100-fold. The single greatest secret to success is focusing on serving others. The single greatest success to multiplying our single value 100-fold is in how we use this gift that's sitting in our own backyard. We use it destructively to destroy us. We use it constructively, and we're in partnership with a power greater than us. It has the ability to reveal inspired ideas, impressions, and solutions to problems that, when implemented, will speed up the entire creation process. May our focus be on these constructive ways of thinking. Scroll number 8 this week. And your other assignment is so simply stated, difficult to do. Every time you feel yourself wanting to go to fantasy, I told you at the beginning, you'd meet this one tonight when you're going to sleep. You're lying in bed, everybody's asleep. Where do you go? Am I going to escape to a time in the future? Am I going to sit there and stew over things that I worry about? Or am I going to focus on the next event in my life? Go there, seek inspiration of how I could serve that person more effectively. Am I going to be seeking inspiration, exploring possibilities, planning, goal setting, problem solving? If you're going to spend time somewhere, spend it here. Present in your mind, intentionally, creating mentally, getting an inspired idea which will drive your action while you intentionally create in the tangible world. Oh, may we have the courage to do so. If we do, a year from now, our lives will be so different. If we don't, we'll be on the fourth or fifth option of trying to figure out how to do it with an easy button. We'll actually be further behind because we will have wasted increasingly amounts of money trying to solve something that can't be solved with just purchasing something. May we use our mind constructively. Thanks, everybody. Have a great week. Look forward to being with you next